Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Well, amen. So grateful just for our worship team and the way they point us to Christ. Love the new song this morning, that reminder of the divine exchange. Such a blessing. So grateful that you're here. If you're a guest with us, we're just so glad that you've joined us, and we would love to connect with you as you're ready to connect with us. So we'd love for you to fill out a connect card and just let us know of any way that we might be able to serve you along the way. We're in the midst of a series called Paradoxes of the Kingdom, some things that just don't really make sense to the world, but that are true in the kingdom of God, and really this way that we are called to live differently. I was thinking about this passage today. We're going to be in Acts 20. If you want to take your Bibles and turn there, we'll read together there in just a few moments. But I was thinking about this passage. I was thinking about, it's a place where Paul is giving his farewell, and he is really sharing and remembering his time with the church at Ephesus. He has pulled the elders of that church together, and he is encouraging them. He's remembering, but he's also really charging them, I believe, as we see this text. And so it's just a beautiful passage. But I was thinking about what Paul wanted them to remember, what he wanted them to remember about him, what he wanted them to remember about the words of Christ. And I was thinking a little bit, it took me back. And if you're a kid that maybe grew up in the 90s, you might remember these commercials, but it just kind of popped in my mind as I was thinking about it. And you might see these. It was kind of like a lot of times it's a Western scene, you know, it's like an old Clint Eastwood movie look, you know, and there's this moment where, you know, Clint Eastwood kind of squints through one eye and spits, and then, you know, has some incredible statement. Well, it's kind of a Western look like that. And these guys are there, and one of them, you know, is looking at the other, and he looks and he says, "What do you want on your tombstone?" To which the guy responds, "Pepperoni and cheese, please," you know, and so it's like that that kind of moment. And you know, we laugh, but it does make us think a little bit, like, what will our life say in the end? I Googled earlier this morning just some funny tombstones, and I saw one that was kind of interesting. It said, "Just rest in my eyes." I thought that was pretty good. I was just kind of thinking ahead. That was kind of funny. There was one that was from a dentist, and he said, "This is the last cavity that I'll ever feel." And so, I don't know, they're kind of funny and maybe not funny. I don't know. I'm sorry, but it's so good. But you know, I wonder, what is our life summed up in a line? What is it that we want to be remembered by? And, you know, the world says some things. We've seen it in these paradoxes. The world says, you know, that you build your life by what you can gain, that you are to protect your life at all costs, to climb higher, to take more. But the kingdom says something completely different. We've seen that, listen, the way to truly live is to die. We've seen these paradoxes that just don't make sense. Last week, that strength is found in weakness, that the way up is down, that the greatest among you would be a servant. And today we're going to see the words of Jesus. We don't see them recorded in the Gospels, but Paul quotes them, and it's such a familiar quote where he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." That you are blessed not so much by what you receive, but by what you give. That's a paradox that's very interesting. You know, we think about these words on a tombstone or an obituary, and there was a man who got to read his obituary in advance. Alfred Noble was his name, and his brother died, and a newspaper misunderstood who had passed away, and they formed some headlines about this man. They printed his obituary by mistake, and the headline read, "The merchant of death is dead." He had invented dynamite, and when he read this, he understood how his life was being defined, what it was going to be remembered by, and it shook him a bit in those moments. And he made a change. He took his wealth, and I forget how many million dollars were given to it, but he changed some things about what his life would be remembered by. He established the Nobel Prize, or those funds did that. And when he died, he wasn't remembered the same way, right? He was remembered differently. And you and I, we don't get a chance to read our obituary early, but we can determine and decide by the way that we live what we want to be remembered by, what really matters. And so in Acts 20, Paul is at the end of this season. He knows that suffering is ahead. He calls these Ephesian elders together, and as he looks back at his life, he gives them reflection and he gives them direction. And I hope today that it'll cause some of those same things in our lives, that we might reflect and that it might change our direction as we look at the things that will last. And so I want to invite you, if you were able to stand in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. We're going to read a lot of verses this morning. Acts chapter 20, verses 17, all the way to the end of that chapter. And then altogether, you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen, and we'll quote that together. Beginning in verse 17, this is the word of God. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that day and night for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the words which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Now, altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, God, for the challenging, God, passages that we've been in as we've looked at these paradoxes. Lord, what it looks like to live in this world, God, but as citizens of the kingdom of God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that your people, God, as a result of, God, the power of your Spirit, God, as you take the word of God and help us to look more like Jesus, Lord, as you conform us to the image of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would send us out on mission, Lord, that we might go, Lord, and that we might live, Lord, for the glory of your name. Lord, help us to leave different than we came, Lord, all because of what you've done. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray, God, for your blessing upon us, Lord, and your blessing upon our time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. You know, Paul gives us this summary, really, a life that was not built on taking, but a life that was built on giving. And you know, if Paul had to sum up his life, I think, in a line, I believe we could see it in verse 24. He speaks of this calling, his desire. He says that, you know, that he is going to Jerusalem. He understands that suffering is ahead. He understands these difficulties that are coming toward him. But he says, I want to finish my course. I want to finish this calling. And he lived, as verse 24 says, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And I believe when we look at this passage, his method of doing that was giving himself wholly to the work of the gospel. He gave more than he took. I believe when we read this passage, we see this about him. And I hope that it would be for all of our lives, for husbands and for wives and for every relationship that we are in, that we would look at our lives, that one day, maybe when we have that time where people are reflecting upon our lives and reflecting upon those things, that we, like Paul, might be able to say, listen, we gave so much more than we took because Christ had given us everything, because we had experienced his grace, because he had blessed our life. And so as we look at this, I think we're going to be able to see several things about Paul's life, about the way that he lived, about the way that he gave. And the first thing that we're going to see in verse 18 is that Paul gave his time, right? When he calls these elders to him, he says to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time." Listen, he stayed, he invested, he was with them, his presence, he gave of his time. And it's a difficult thing, right, for us to think about. We live in such a busy world. We live where we're distracted by so many things, right? And Paul stayed, he invested, right? He was present. And when we think about followers of Jesus Christ, we learn from Paul, right, that Jesus' followers, right, are generous with our time, that we're generous with our time. We see principles in Scripture. We see things about the Sabbath. We see things about rest. We see those kind of things. But there is a clear picture that Jesus would call us to invest our time in the things that would last. And I wonder, when I think about my life and when we really look at our time, what is getting my time these days? And you know, honestly, as I think about some of those things, there are certain things that are convicting that I think about with my life. We're doing a group premarital counseling on Wednesday night. And, you know, we're thinking about some of those things that are important. We're thinking about things that matter. And one of those things that we've talked about some is, you know, things that maybe we communicate that we want more or less of in our marriage, how we communicate, what we do. And, you know, something from years ago, listen, it's very easy for us to be distracted by things that don't matter. It's very easy, you know, for my wife to say, hey, the same thing that I wanted 2 years ago, right, is more time and less time on devices, less time in those things, right? I don't know if I'm the only one, right, that can find myself distracted and maybe even sometimes distracted in good things, right? But what is getting our time? And when we have that time, are we really present in that time? You know, how do our families look? Are we normally watching, you know, we have young people that are maybe watching YouTube reels or watching YouTube videos, and moms and dads that are scrolling on Facebook. And anytime we're in a line, anytime we're in public, like these places where we have the opportunity to engage with people, opportunities to share Christ's love, listen, what we see is a bunch of people that are just staring down. I wonder, you know, Paul wrote, and we would see things like the whole Praetorian Guard, right, is knowing of him and they're being converted. And I wonder, like, if Paul had a cell phone, you know, he's chained to the guards. Would he just been scrolling? You know, what would I mean, his priorities, obviously, Paul, he was a beast as he lived for the glory of God. But we can become so distracted. But Jesus followers, listen, we generously give our time. We understand there are things that are important. The second thing we see about Paul is that he gave the truth, right? He gave the truth. In verse 20, he says, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." Now, when you see that word shrink, there's an indication that there was something that he was giving that would result in, maybe there was a fear that he had from the response that was there. I mean, the reason that we shrink back is because there's something that has caused us to kind of pull back from it. And so Paul says, "Hey, I didn't shrink back." And Paul knew, hey, things are not going to be easy. We're going to see that in the next verses. But he said, "I didn't shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And in verse 27, he says, "I didn't shrink back from sharing and declaring the whole counsel of God." And Paul shared things. He shared repentance and faith. He addressed the brokenness of the church. He addressed the brokenness of the people there. And what we understand, like, as we follow Jesus, that we've been called to share the truth in love, that we speak with grace and we speak with truth. And so Paul was generous with the truth. He gave the truth. And Jesus followers, listen, we are called to be generous with the truth. Now, the world has a whole different perspective. And there's a temptation, especially in the world that we live in, the way things go, is that we would be silent. The world would love to silence the message of the gospel. The world would love for us not to to share the truth. The world would love that. The world says, hey, you tell people what they want to hear, right? But God calls us to tell people what they need to hear, right? To speak the truth. And we speak the truth from the Word of God. When we have a question, when there are things that are confusing, or things that we're trying to understand, we don't go to culture to figure out what is the way that we should go. We don't go to popular opinion. Listen, we open the Word of God, and we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we speak truth in love. And I just wonder, right, who needs to hear truth from us? And if I'm honest, there's moments throughout my life where I can look back, and because of fear of relational impact, and I don't know about you, sometimes we hear these things and we're like, man, you feel kind of led to say something to somebody, and you see them going the wrong direction, and there's a part of you that kind of wrestles in that, and the enemy likes to whisper, you know, and we wonder, you know, how's it going to affect those things? Paul says, I did not shrink back from telling the truth. I did not shrink back from sharing truth that was profitable. Now, we're going to see there's some ways that we should be wise in doing that. We hear those things from the enemy that says, well, what if you tell them, if you share truth with them, man, are you going to drive them further from the Lord? Have you ever heard that? You ever maybe wondered that? And here's just a reality, like if they are separated from God and on their way to hell, how much further can we drive them from the Lord, right? I've got a buddy who shares, and he drives a delivery truck, and he said, you know, when those people get in that delivery truck, he said, they don't have anywhere to go. Like, they have to help me, they're riding. And he says, I pray. He says, and then that delivery truck, he said, I just share the good news of the gospel. He said, I just share. And he says, I tell them, listen, what kind of friend would I be if I knew the truth and I didn't tell you? And because I love you, I want to share with you. And listen, we understand that the wages of sin is death. We share the good news of the grace, the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we share those things. And with the good news, there's bad news, that because of our sin, listen, we're separated from a holy God. And Paul says, I didn't shrink back from declaring repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be a people that will not shrink back. We understand there are people in our life that are close to us and far from God, and they need to hear the truth. And it doesn't come easy, right? Verse 22 and 23, Paul says, I'm bound by the Spirit. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, except everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit testifies that there is bonds and afflictions that await me. But Paul says, my life, he said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, Paul had died a long time ago. See, in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. He says, Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I live in light of that divine exchange. I live in light of what Christ has done for me, and I will not shrink back. I will not lie down. He says, I'm going to press on, and I'm going to finish this race. Listen, Paul, he gave of his time. He gave of the truth. And the next thing we see is that he gave his tears. Paul tells the elders, he goes on in those verses saying that they need to be on the alert. He says that that he wants them to remember, verse 31, that day and night, he says, night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Paul loved these people. He hurt when they hurt. He was broken by the brokenness that was around him. That word admonish, it's a sense of instructing someone with mild reproof, right? It's urging them that they would correct behavior and belief. And the reason that someone does that is out of concern for their spiritual well-being. Paul says night and day. He says, you don't remember, I was here 3 years. And he said, night and day. He said, I admonished you with the truth. He said, with tears. Paul, he gave of his tears. And Jesus followers, listen, we're to be generous with our compassion. When people are far from God that are around us, we don't want to sit and we don't want to have a holier than thou kind of posture to them. We've all been around people that have had that. A few weeks ago, the men from Men's Challenge worshiped with us in our 9:45 service. And man, that morning, we just had one of the best times of worship. Man, as they were singing about the grace and the good news of what Christ has done, and they would clap and tears would roll down their face. Listen, they had not forgotten how God had saved them and what he had brought them from. And may we be careful not to forget what the gospel has done for us, what Christ has done for us. When people are far from God, listen, we don't stay distant. We care, we come. What kind of friend would we be if we didn't tell them the truth, if we know they are on their way to destruction? And how do we do it, right? We open God's word. We speak the truth from his word. God's word says this, and I care too much about you to not say anything. God's word says this, and I care too much about you to stay quiet. Because here's the truth, right? Truth without tears can feel harsh. And tears without truth leave people in their mess. But when those two things come together and we're broken over their condition and we care about them, see, Paul had both, and they belong together in our lives. Paul reminds them in verse 32 that they're not shepherding along, that the Lord is with them, that Jesus will build his church. Listen, they gave their truth, the tears. He was with them. He gave his time. This was who he was. And we see in this last part, right, that Paul gave his treasure. Jesus followers, listen, they're generous with their treasure. Verse 33, Paul says, I didn't want nothing from you. That's what he said. He said, I didn't come here desirous of the things, of the riches, of anything that you had. He said, I didn't covet anybody's silver or their gold. He said, I didn't come here to get anything from you. I didn't covet your silver, your gold, your clothes. Paul says in verse 34, he says, you know yourselves. He said that these hands ministered to my own needs and the men who were with me. Paul says that these hands labored, these hands worked. I made tents. I did things. I supported myself. He says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul worked. He helped the weak. And Paul wanted them to remember something. This is the finishing part, right, of this farewell that he's giving to these men. And what does he want them to remember? He says, listen, remember how I lived among you. He says, I wasn't there for anything from you. He says, I gave more than I took. And he said, I want you to remember. He said, I want you to live in that kind of way. Be watchful. There's a mess out there. The wolves are coming. He said, but listen. He said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Paul wanted them to understand a posture of life, right? That's different from the things of this world. Now, when you think about that, you can hear a lot of weird stuff out there. You can watch TV and there'll be some guys that'll say, hey, if you'll send me this and you'll do this, then you're going to get this in return, that there's these promised blessings. They take verses like this in 2 Corinthians 9. You can read verse 6 to 8 with me. He says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then verse 8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good need, every good deed. Now, don't misunderstand that. This isn't about getting more stuff. This is what sometimes this false teaching, this prosperity gospel says, hey, if you give, you get. I was at the hospital on Wednesday, and Tom Nolan was there, a pastor that worships with us, a pastor part of our church. And Tom was there, and he had a Ugandan nurse, and she came by, and we were talking back and forth. And I said, hey, listen, before you leave, I said, we're going to pray together here in just a few minutes. I said, is there anything we could pray for you for? And she said, yep, $1 million. She said, if you pray, $1 million. And I said, I think you got the wrong guys. I said, you could probably find them on TV. But Tom was quick-witted. And Tom looked at her and he said, I'll tell you what. He said, send me 3,000 and I'll work on the million. You know, we all laughed. It was a funny moment, right? But here's what I want you to understand. This is not what that scripture is pointing to. And here's something else I want you to understand. If you give to get, then you missed it. You're still taking. And if you give to get, and you've done it for somebody saying, hey, if you'll do this, then I promise this, and you get all this kind of craziness that's out there. If that's what you're giving to, listen, if you give to get, then you've been got. Okay, and somebody's gonna have a jet on your behalf, right? And that's it, right? That's what you need to understand. But here's this sense. Now, what we see is that you can't outgive our great God. He says he is able to make all grace abound to you so that having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, right? God supplies, not simply so we could consume it ourselves, so that we could be a blessing to others. You see, in Ephesians 4, he talks about let him who steals steal no more, but he says by the work of his hands, he said let him work, right, so that he will have. Let me just turn there. He says this, Ephesians 4:28. He says he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that. And we'd fill in that blank, like so that he'll have everything he needed, so that he can take all the vacations that he wants, so that he can have a jet and a car and all the things, right? And that's kind of, that's what we hear. That's sort of the American dream, right? You guys work and we work, and then at some point, right, we're gonna have all that we need. We're gonna be able to rest. We're gonna be able to travel. We're gonna be able to do all those things. Paul says, hey, I'm about to finish my course right here. And he says, man, I'm on the way and I'm gonna finish for the glory of Christ. And he says here, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. He said, God supplies, and he's gonna abundantly supply. You cannot give him. You're gonna experience blessing. Sometimes that blessing could come through all kinds of different things. But what I wanna tell you is you're not just a reservoir. You're not just a place to catch things. I've inherited a job since my dad has passed away. They've got a spring at their place. And so there's a spring that's way up on the hill, and a spring. Yeah, that's right. Y'all got it. There's a spring up there on the hill, and inside of it, there's a big old black pipe that runs in there, and there's a big old hole dug out in the mountain, and a big refrigerator door that like covers it for security and safety of all the rainwater. And when I saw it, I'm like, this is, we probably need to test this. Like, this is probably, and we tested it. It's like the best water ever. You know, it's like great water. I'm like, this is amazing. And so it comes in this big pipe, runs down to this concrete tank. And at the bottom of that hill, this concrete tank is a reservoir. There's another pipe that goes in there. It pumps it up to the house. And what I've learned is that I better keep an eye on that reservoir, right? Because I can tell when it's not healthy. I can tell when the root, right, when there's a problem at the source. I can tell when there's a problem, that something stopped up, that something's not working the way that's intended, because at the reservoir, it begins to stop coming out the other side. It begins to stop pouring out in overflow of what's coming into it. And I know that spring is healthy because there's water flowing out. And I just want to encourage you to examine your lives. And as Christ followers, we've not been blessed so that we could consume everything upon ourselves. Paul would write to Timothy that God gives us all these things, right? He blesses us richly so that we might enjoy these gifts. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings that God gives us and having those things. But if all of our work and all of our things is about our comfort and about our things and about all those things, and there's nothing flowing through us, and we need to examine the source. We need to examine what's coming up, right? Because we understand, listen, we're a channel. We're made to be a channel of God's blessing. And some of you have experienced the joy of giving. Some of you have experienced the joy where, you know, you've given and it surprised you a little bit. There's a joy that happened in you and you're like, I wasn't quite expecting that. I blessed somebody and maybe you covered a meal. Maybe you paid for somebody's groceries. Maybe you showed up when somebody was hurting and afterward you felt lighter and you're like, man, this seems like Jesus knew what it's like. He knows what he's talking about. It's like, it's more blessed to give than receive. This was awesome. Like, I could have bought a Reese cup and it would have just put like some weight on me, but I gave it away and it was incredible, right? You felt lighter because giving takes us out of ourself. And so what does our life produce? What's our work produce? Is it more comfort or is it more capacity to bless? And then I just wonder who around us, who are the weak around us? You know, I heard a story this week of adoption. Now, I read in James where he says, pure and undefiled religion is this, helping widows and orphans in their distress and keeping oneself unspotted, from the world, like living holy lives and helpful lives. Man, I heard a story of adoption that just made me weep as I thought about God's grace. And Paul says, listen, there's been a story of adoption in my life. King Jesus has saved me and made me part of his family. And as a result of that, listen, I've been given everything. And so I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I want you to do something with me. Just take your hand and hold it like you're holding on to something really important right here. Get it real close and squeeze with everything you got. Like somebody told me I was kind of having some soft hands. I won't mention any names. And so I got me a little grip thing in my car, right? And as I drive down the road, listen, I grip that thing, right? So that when, you know, I spend a little too much time like pushing buttons and driving or whatever. And so, man, I want to be strong, you know, I want to have that grip. So hold on to something like you mean it. Like get it down there where it's like white knuckle, you know, you're squeezing this thing. And, you know, this is how a lot of us live. This is how a lot of us live in our life, right? We're holding on. We're protecting. We're fearful that if somehow we let go for just a minute, if something, listen, you can't receive anything in this posture and you can't give anything with a closed hand either. Squeeze hard just another second and then just relax. Just relax. Which way feels better? And when I read the scripture, this is the life that Christ has called us to. A life that trusts that my Father, listen, he is my provider. We sing that song, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So listen, I trust that my God, that he sees the sparrows, that he takes care of the lilies, that he knows even the hairs on your head, that they're numbered, easier for some than others, right? But there's a part of it that says, listen, I don't have to hold tight, that I trust and my provision is in Christ. See, this is a life that God calls us to. And how does Paul do it? Listen, he had already received everything. He put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become poor. Rich. Jesus gave everything, and we give. Paul gave. Listen, we give because we already have everything in him. We come to the Lord's table every week as we take the bread, and you can, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sins, and as Britt said so well, placed your full weight in Christ, we invite you to take part in this time. As you hold the bread and hold the cup, we're reminded that he gave his body, that he gave his blood, that he gave his life, that divine exchange, so that we might have life. As you hold it for just a moment, we reflect in these moments. Paul would write to examine ourselves, to let us to come to this table. Listen, with the right posture, this represents his body broken for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. God, what a joy it is that, God, we've been given, God, so richly. God, blessings that are, God, bigger than our minds and, God, bigger than we can even process. To think that by his grace that King Jesus would step out from the glories of heaven and take on flesh. Or that for our sake, he would become poor so that through his poverty, we could become rich. Lord, we thank you for his body given for us, for his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And we pray, God, as we take this communion together, Lord, that you would remind us, God, that we would remember, God, that we would reflect, but God, that we would also rejoice, Lord, in all that's been given to us in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had broken it," it says, "when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us eat. As you peel back the cup, this cup represents the blood of the Lord Jesus poured out for you. Paul continues and says it this way. He said that in the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink. Paul finishes, he continues by saying, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Listen, we look forward knowing that King Jesus is coming back. And we know that it reminds us, because Jesus gave everything, we have everything that we need in him. We can be generous with our lives. We can be people who live for the kingdom of God, generous with our time, generous with the truth, right? Generous with tears because of our love, generous with everything in our lives. And I want to invite you, maybe you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus for salvation. You've been holding on. Like, I remember when I began to be convicted about my sin, I remember holding on to that sin. I had a grip on it, because I said, there's no way that I could experience joy. I would look, man, there were friends that started getting saved, and I would look at them, and you know, they'd stop going to parties with us, and they'd say, "I'm going to Revival," or "I'm going to this," and I think, how in the world could they have fun not doing all these things that we were doing? And I held on to those things. But listen, there was a day where the beauty of Christ, listen, was greater than all those things, and I just let go of the things of the world. Paul would speak to it, of this thought of repentance, and I recognized that all those sins, that all that mess that I'd been holding on, that Jesus had died in my place, that Jesus had died for those things, that it was my sin that had put him on the cross. And that day, listen, I just laid all those things down. I said, "God, here, I'm yours, Lord. I'm thankful for the cross. I believe that what you did on that cross, that it was in my place, that it was for me, and I trust you." And listen, there was a joy that flooded my soul in that day. There was a joy that overcame me, and there was a joy that I never thought could be. I never thought you could experience those things apart from the ways that I was living. But I'm going to tell you something. It is a joy that lasts, and it is a joy that's unspeakable. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And listen, that is the offer. To turn from your sin, to let go of it, listen, and to receive the Savior. He'll change you. He'll make you new. And if you've already trusted in Jesus Christ, Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "Lord, teach us to number our days." Listen, there's coming a day where Jesus will return, or where our lives will come to an end. He said, "But teach us, Lord, to number our days," to live this day in light of that day. That's what Martin Luther would say about it. He said, "Listen, just teach us to live today in light of that day with the end in mind, so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Some of you, you've thought about those people in your lives. Who is it that needs to hear truth? Who is it that needs to hear it? Who is it that needs to see the love of Christ in our lives? Some of you may want to come and pray. Some of you, like me, you've looked and you've said, "You know, there's people that I know I should have talked to. Now they're even further down that road, and God, help me not to shrink back. Lord, in the power of your Spirit, Lord, might you give me boldness that I might proclaim." Some of you may need to come and pray this morning. Pray that God would give you compassion, that he would let you see them as he sees them, and that he would change them and change you through the power of his word. Lord, we come and we just trust you in all these moments. Lord, if someone's here and, God, they know they're separated from you because of their sin, Lord, I pray you'd give them courage. God, I pray you'd help them just to turn loose, God, of the things of this world. Lord, that they might experience your grace. Lord, we love you. God, we trust these moments in your hands. Lord, we pray you do what only you can do in our lives. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand as we sing and worship our great God together? If you need to pray, you can come. And we'd love to pray with you. Maybe there's something you're holding on to you need to lay down.